Hello and welcome to Countryside Community Church. My name is Jeff Warren, and we're glad to be joining with you in worship today. Our scripture reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. At one time you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to live like people of this world. You followed the rule of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time, you were like those persons. All of you used to do whatever felt good and whatever you thought you wanted, so that you were children headed for punishment, just like everyone else. However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace, and God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace, by the goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus. You are saved by God's grace because of your faith. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, thank you for your constant presence with us. We have gathered in this time because we really need to hear a word from you. And so, as you always do, Holy Spirit, please pour yourself out on us. Once again, take the words of the scripture that we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them. Breathe life into them, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, one of the things that probably we're all familiar with is that moment in a courtroom where the witness comes up and they are sworn in, right? It's where they put their hand on the scriptures and recite that they pledge to do two things: to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And because that has become such a unique thing in our society, that we have grown so accustomed to people not telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, it's even gotten to be the sort of thing that collects a bunch of jokes around it. But telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is especially important when you are a witness, when you are telling what you know, what you've experienced. And it's really important for us as we think about our witness of who God is. And so that is another part of the reason for this series, where we're looking at half-truths. And today, we're going to spend some time talking about that statement that God helps those who help themselves. Now, again, we want to look at this closely, because the thing that we also know is true is that we need to beware of half-truths. You may have gotten hold of the wrong half. So let's dig in a little bit. God helps those who help themselves. Now, of all of the things that we're looking at, this is the one that has the least reference to Scripture as we know it. It's comes to us from a completely different track. It comes out of Greek philosophy and has really kind of found its home in the American experience because it got quoted by Ben Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac. And so people think that it's a scriptural thing. And it sort of sounds like maybe it should be, doesn't it? I mean, because one of the things that is important to us is work, right? One of the reasons that we say this to each other is because work is an important gift from God, right? Now, we think of work as being really important in terms of our culture and certainly with capitalism, but even more than that, it's an important gift from God. And if we go back all the way to creation, to the story in the garden, we find that one of the things that God does is recognizes that human beings need to have work. We need to have purpose. We need to have a reason. We need to have something that we spend our days on, something that matters. And so when God puts Adam in the garden, he provides him with all the food he needs, safe water to drink, and gives him good work to do. Tend the garden, take care of it. So when we hear this, God helps those who help themselves, what we want to affirm is that work is something that's important, something that we need to do. And so that's the good side of this little phrase. And often when we're thinking about it, we remember the Christians in Thessalonica, where Paul had established the church and had told them the good news about Jesus and that Jesus was going to return, and they were sure it meant really, really soon. And so some of the folks decided that because Jesus was coming back very, very soon, that what they really needed to do was focus on their prayers and worship to the exclusion of going to work. And so they ended up, whether they intended it or not, they ended up taking advantage of their fellow Christians. And so Paul writes to them that whoever doesn't eat, or whoever doesn't work, doesn't eat. And that we should be committed to providing for our needs. Because after all, that was what Paul did. He reminds the folks in Corinth that I didn't come among you for you to take care of me, but I came and I worked. When we hear this phrase, the positive part of it is that we want to affirm that work is significant, work is important, work is a good gift from God. So much so that being unemployed is a real challenge. When we recognize that folk who have become unemployed through no choice of their own really struggle, we're reminded that work is a good, important gift from God, woven into the fabric of creation itself. So that's the half-truth here. But this is not a piece of scripture. And it's not scripture because it's easy to get the wrong end of truth. Right? We get a hold of the wrong end of truth when we use this passage, we use this idea, this phrase, as an excuse for not helping each other. And a lot of times when we trot this out, God helps those who help themselves, we're really kind of in a context where somebody is commenting on somebody else not doing their part. That's the wrong end of truth. Because when we look at who God is, we notice that God is constantly reaching out to us. And the scriptures say over and over and over again that we need to care for the least and the last and the lost. In the Old Testament, it usually gets expressed as we need to care for the poor, the widow, the orphan, the stranger in our midst. You remember that Paul encouraged the churches in Asia to gather up collection to send to the folks in Jerusalem because they were experiencing financial hardship. Right, there's nothing about being a follower of Jesus that would lead us to believe that it's not part of who we are. It's not part of who God is. It's not part of our call as Christians to help those who are in need. There is nothing that would suggest that. And maybe the most important piece of that is when we remember those words from Paul, for God came to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That God didn't wait for us to get our act together. That God didn't wait for us to repent, but instead God came at the right time to seek us out, to care for us. And so we need to care for each other. Each other being defined not as what's the smallest group we can say is each other, but the way God has defined it. We're to be a blessing, a light to the Gentiles, to those who don't know. And so we get the wrong end of truth when we try to use this phrase, this idea, as a way of justifying that we really don't need to help people. There's another way that we often get the wrong end of truth with this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. We get the wrong end of truth when we try to save ourselves. When we think that if we just work hard enough, if we just do enough good things, if we just help enough people who are poor, then somehow we will become acceptable to God. The image of salvation is that we find ourselves having fallen in a pit. And when we get it wrong is when our picture is that God will throw us a rope and then stand and watch and see if we'll tough our way out. The witness of the scripture is that God reaches down and picks us up. That's the parables in the 15th chapter of Luke. The one sheep that's lost that God goes to find. The one coin that's lost that the woman turns her house inside out to find. The son who turns his back on absolutely everything and still finds a way home. Remembers what he had been taught, remembers the grace that everyone in his household had experienced. This is the way God treats us. And when we try to earn our way, we have the wrong end of truth. The scripture that we have shared this morning in our time of worship, or this afternoon, or whenever it is that you actually are sharing in this, is a wonderful way of capturing this tension, that work is important, that it's part of who God created us to be, and that we are called to serve one another. And yet we can never save ourselves. Let me read that again from Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We cannot save ourselves. We are called to good works, that God might be glorified in all of it. So maybe the better way, or maybe we might say better, instead of God helps those who help themselves, would be better for us to say that God asks for our very best and helps us when our best isn't good enough. God asks for our very best. And helps us when our best isn't good enough. We call this grace. and of all the gifts that God has given to us, it is the most important. Grace to you and peace. Amen.
So this is the God that we serve. God asks for our very best and helps us when our best isn't good enough. And so we go into our days absolutely fearlessly as we continue together to develop hearts for God and a spirit-filled community and to share God's love and grace throughout the world. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and was and is to come, and also with you. Amen.